are back with episode 791 of The Critical Myth. I'm John, your host, and tonight we have...
Gary from Jacksonville. Looking forward to discussing some of the news facts tonight, even though I'm not happy about one.
I'm sure that there's a few that are going to be worthy of debate here or discussion, but there we are. Yeah, we have a few items here on our list. Put a whole bunch of other articles up on our Facebook page this past week, but really honing in on a few things here that are of really odd nature here for us to talk about. Some of them are just unexpected, at least on my end. Although I am happy about some of the news, it is just unexpected, let's put it that way. But before we do any of that, Gary, if you could give a general disclaimer.
Yes. In our discussions on our various news and television shows that we discuss, we often reveal what's happened in the recent episodes. We usually give you about a week's time to watch these shows before we record our show, so we hope you're all caught up. And if you're not, just be prepared that we might be revealing endings, births, deaths, and other interesting events that have happened on the shows, so you've been warned.
That's right. And we are going to get started with some discussion on some, well, unexpected turns of events with some shows out there in terms of renewals and so on. I'm going to start off here with this article regarding a big favorite of ours here at the show, and that is 12 Monkeys. I mean, we've talked about the first few seasons very often, about the first two seasons and how happy we are about it. We were really happy to hear that there was going to be a third season. Well, got some news not so long ago that there's going to be a fourth season, a fourth and final chapter. Okay, I'm good with that.
Well, I like that they, you know, announced that they will be closing, you know, giving a hard end to it so that they, you know, they have time to wrap up stories and reach an end point.
Yes, indeed. But then they kind of came along and did something a little unexpected with all of this. So Sci-Fi has announced that they're going to, in addition to having a fourth and final chapter or season, they are going to air the entire 10-episode third season in the course of 3 days, over an entire weekend. They are going to basically run the first 4 episodes on Friday, the 19th of May, and then 3 episodes each on Saturday and Sunday in 8 to 11 p.m. blocks. And they're going to burn this entire third season off in a weekend.
Wow. They really hate that, don't they?
That was my first thought was, why did you renew this?
So they can make syndication?
I'm guessing?
Yeah.
I don't know, but wow. That just... I don't know what they're thinking. I mean, I'm glad that they're making it. It's going to be an interesting response to it, though, because I can't imagine that the ratings are going to be very good. I don't know if they made a deal somewhere or what, but wow. So anyway, I mean, one of the producers, Terry Metalis, basically says that they've been given the opportunity to tell an ambitious, emotional story with the beginning, middle, and end, if not always in that order. They couldn't be more grateful for their faith and support. Like our fans who may want to turn their clocks ahead to see what we've got in store, I only wish I could turn mine back to relive this incredible experience over again. Blah, 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 everybody's thrilled, so on and so forth. So yeah, here's the statement from Jeff Wachtel, the President Chief Content Officer of NBC Universal Cable Entertainment. We are thrilled to be able to offer fans an opportunity to binge the third season as a reward for their lasting support. And we couldn't be more excited to see where Terry takes us with the final chapter of this fabulous story in the fourth season.
So they're already paid for this for the episodes. They're already in the can, and they decide to...
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're just going to burn them off in a weekend.
Wow.
I'm just... I don't know. This is going to be very upsetting for some people, because I think that there are a lot of folks that liked having time in between episodes to just let the story sink in.
Well, people don't do that anymore.
Well, I'll say that there is a podcast for the 12 Monkeys that I do watch and or listen to, and they are pretty well in tune with the producers and everything and on Twitter and stuff like that. They have a pretty good community, and it's always been this really cool kind of synergy when the show is on the air, and this completely destroys it. There's just no way, because, I mean, they're going to basically have an entire season dropped in their laps in a single week. In the space of 3 days, that doesn't sustain a community really very well. So, yeah, I'm like, wow, I'm glad that we've got a fourth season. I'm glad that we've got this 10-episode third season. That's great. I really hate the way they're going to do this. Because they're also dropping this in the middle of a weekend. Right in the middle of May sweeps. Not that that's as important as it used to be, but still, this just... I'm shaking my head. It's... I'm not happy about it. I think that this is actually going to do more to... I guess it, I would be more upset if the fate of the show depended on the ratings of this. And it doesn't.
No.
Which is the other thing that drives... Like, I just don't understand at all. There is no effect. The show has one more season, and that's it after this. This could bomb completely, and it doesn't change anything. So for me, it's just, again, what is... You're doing this, you're creating this content, you're burning it off, you're kind of killing off one of the key components of your fan community, which was the only thing that kept the show on the air to begin with. I just don't understand the strategy. I just don't. It doesn't fit in my, you know, I don't get it. I don't know, what's your take on that? Because I can see them doing this with a lot of other shows in the future. And it kind of bugs me.
Well, the first thing I don't get is that, you know, if they already filmed these, why would you lose? I have to imagine you're losing ad revenue by doing something like this from a money point of view.
Right.
Or maybe the ad revenue for this show, I'm not sure what the ratings are, but maybe they're so low it doesn't matter. And they really are doing it as a fan service thing.
Maybe.
So that's what I'm thinking, that, you know, this is better than, oh, catch the last three episodes 4 months from now on Netflix. you know
what they may be trying to do, and you just said Netflix and that's what came to mind. Maybe this is their attempt, or their really weird way of fulfilling a contract or a licensing requirement, which is that they have to actually air the episodes.
Yes.
But they want to try to do the Netflix effect of dumping all the episodes, right, quote unquote, right away. So they throw these episodes in a weekend block, 4, 3, and 3, over 3 days. But the net effect is that all those episodes are available on their online service. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to Netflixify their a season of this critically acclaimed show that doesn't seem to pay off for them over the course of 10 weeks. But to me, this is just, I don't know. They're kind of trying to make it out as though this is a huge event thing instead of just what it is, which is we're dumping all the episodes out this week. But, yeah, I saw that and I just was kind of beside myself with the whole thing. I was, wow, this is just... Could you imagine them coming out and basically saying, okay, we're on ABC and we're going to dump the first 13 episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. season in over the course of the entire week? I think everybody would just be like, wait, what? Like, yeah. I guess if that's what it takes to get the show still to be on the air, but then is it really on the air? You're just, yeah, I'm confused. I don't see how Sci-Fi is going to get very much back on this investment, which is unfortunate because then the problem I see in the long run is how much are they going to invest in these kinds of properties if they're not getting a return on that investment? Or is this going to be the model that they start using a lot more? Ugh.
I can't imagine it typically is. This just seems like a waste of episodes. So, well, on the other hand, yeah, I won't discount what you're saying, that maybe it's going to lock people in because they're going to see if their people stay with it night after night after night. It almost reminds me of the older style miniseries where you used to have, you know, special event week, and they'd have some sort of special thing where it'd be every night, you know, for a little while. Of course, the most popular being the ones like, you know, like Shogun used to be way back in the day when we were kids, where so many people watched it. It was a phenomenon, and they've tried it a few times, rolled it out over the years, but maybe this is sort of their attempt to see if that kind of thing might work.
Might be. All right, let's move then on to another topic of conversation, which is the a few renewals that we've had very recently. The Expanse, to talk about, you know, on top of all this, some of the sci-fi's kind of decisions that they're making. I'm just going to look very closely at this article now, because now I'm worried that there was something buried in this one that I didn't know about.
No, there wasn't.
I think it's okay. The Expanse has been renewed for a third season. I'm extremely happy about this. And they're getting 13 episodes. So, again, this one was a little bit of a, like, you know, wiping the brow. Thank God this got renewed, because it is such a good show. It's really knocking it out of the park this season. So, yeah, I'm pretty happy about this news.
Yeah, who would have thought hard science sells? Hard science fiction.
Oh, yeah. And again, I listened to, there is an official sci-fi podcast for The Expanse called The Churn. And they get a lot of people from the show, both the writer's room and the cast members, on that week after week. It's really interesting to see it from their perspective, because they know this is a gamble. And they're amazed at how strong the fan base is. The other day, they were there on one of their episodes, I think this was a couple weeks ago, actually, they were playing a song that they received where there's a fan that, you know how they have the belters on the show? Because I know, Gary, you're a little bit behind, but you've seen the show.
Yes, yeah.
And they have a certain, you know, cadence to their speech. It's a dialect. Very, you know, like a... Not Cajun, but you get the idea that it's...
Yes, an accent or something.
Yes. There was a rapper, one of their fans, a rapper that did a song from the perspective of the belters in that dialect. And it was one of the, like, it just made me think, like, wow, there are people that are really into this show. It still feels like this sleeper to me, like, that nobody has ever heard of. But there are really some people who are hugely into it. I really love that. So this is great news. I love the fact that they have been renewed for a third 13-episode season. Legion has been renewed.
Yes.
For a second season. And again, I'm looking at the small print now because I just want to make sure I didn't miss anything. But I don't think they say how many episodes they're going to have. But yeah, it says to be determined. But we talked about this last time when we recorded that, you know, the first season is 8 episodes. And I really hope that they don't try to overdo that, because this first season is really obviously designed a certain way. And this is not the kind of show that would do well to be expanded beyond a handful of episodes where they can really craft it and then move on. And then besides that, for people who are fans of Big Hero 6, Disney XD has already renewed its animated kind of spin-off continuation for a second season. First season hasn't aired yet. Already renewed for a second season.
Oh, aren't we getting used to this already?
Yeah. You know.
Oh, we're signing it to 3 seasons after the first episode. Oh, that's great. Now they're renewing them before they even air. It's just incredible. Actually, from what I hear, though, they are doing a lot of overseas sales with that series. So that's one of the reasons why they're getting a jump on it. It's selling through other markets as well. So
That would explain a lot then, because actually they do like to package larger number of episodes for those kinds of things. Let's see here. That was kind of the big one there. Now there's this other thing that's out there that has me scratching my head again. And there's a lot of head scratching this week. Suicide Squad 2.
Well, did you not think it's coming? Did you really think that, that it wouldn't happen? I mean, it did well financially. Heck, they're making a spin-off female Batman villain movie as well. So,
I'll say this much then. All right.
Yes.
I understand why they wanted to make the spin-off with Harley Quinn, because literally beyond this film, the actual film Suicide Squad, what is the one thing that came out of that film that everybody knew and kind of adored just from the trailers and in the kind of pop culture zeitgeist around it?
Amanda Harley Waller? Quinn. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Amanda Waller. Yeah, that first. Okay. Then, yes, Harley Quinn.
Yes.
That, I mean, you didn't even need the movie. You didn't even need the movie.
So that you're saying you basically off. Want a Deadpool movie with Harley Quinn, kind of, is what you're telling me.
Oh, I think that's exactly what they want to do.
Yes.
And you know what? I'd watch 2 hours of her.
I'm sure you would. Taking one for the team, thank you.
Yeah, that one would be really difficult to handle, but I would. Yeah. I'd take it on. I would. let's face it. Literally, and like, that movie would just be printing money for DC. it would be at least a movie that people would like to go and see. And because, quite frankly, when they went to go see Suicide Squad, they were like, wait, we saw all the really good parts in the trailer with Harley. She really wasn't as crazy in the movie as they kind of built her up to be. So for them to actually give her a movie where she can be that, perfect. I don't understand Suicide Squad 2. I understand the Harley Quinn-fronted film with her female friends and all that. I think that that will be extremely popular. And if they could actually nail the tone of it up front instead of trying to re-edit the film to be that, they'll be in really good shape. But Suicide Squad 2, was anybody really asking for that after they saw what the mess Suicide Squad 1 was? That film was a disaster, creatively. So, even if it did make money, it made money because, well, people wanted to go see the Harley Quinn movie. And then they saw the Joker in that movie and they went, what? Maybe I'm wrong. Because I really, just Jared Leto in that film as Joker just confused me more than anything. I did, and I saw the extended version that supposedly redeemed it, and I was even more confused. I was actually just confused by the extended version of the film. It's great. Let's spend 45 minutes on introductions. Okay. But anyway. It just amazes me that they... And not only... Okay, maybe it shouldn't amaze me that they're at least talking about it, but to hear the sequel is a priority for the studio, and they've made overtures to several directors, including Mel Gibson... Right? I understand that it really made a lot of money. It made $750 million worldwide.
That's a lot of money, Chuck.
That's a lot of money.
No, that's really a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. That's more than enough to justify the Harley Quinn movie.
I was going to say, that keeps the studio going for 5 years. Or at least...
Yeah. I just really feel like, this whole... This whole DC cinematic universe is a mess. This film was supposed to be the last real gasp to try and turn the ship, and it didn't work. We're now pinning our hopes on Wonder Woman, and I'm not hearing that it's like going. It's better, and I literally hear it in those words. It's better. So I don't know. Really, I just read that it's a priority for the studio. Oh, guys. Okay. It's just like before we were talking about, each of the individual films will be both flashbacks and flash forwards. Okay. If that's the way you're going to do this. I thought Geoff Johns was supposed to be going into this as a creative consultant and fixing it. Anyway.
Well, you know, this was part of the advantage of them moving to Hollywood, was moving everything to California, because all the creative talent will be there to improve the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Meanwhile, Marvel's just kind of snickering in the back. Our animated little twig is kicking your asses over here. The thing is that I want to like these movies. Every time they put one of these out, I want to like it. I walk in telling myself I'm going to find something to redeem it, even for just myself. And when you throw me Harley Quinn in Suicide Squad, and I still sit there and go, I cannot make it to the end of this movie. it's saying something. They really need to get some kind of just grasp on how to reframe this franchise, because I feel like they just keep digging in deeper. And they're just like, you know, and you see somebody and they're hitting themselves and you go, why are you hitting yourself? And they just keep doing it. This is the DC Cinematic Universe. In my humble opinion. Okay. So any other, what are your opinions on this? Do you think it makes sense? Do you think that they, you know,
well, of course it makes sense. If they made that much money, it's going to happen. Do I hope that they go a different route this time around and, do something slightly off script? Yes. And I think they might, they were, even though of course Harley Quinn was the spotlight. The Deadshot character was given a little bit of growth and development along the way, and maybe they'll go forward with him and take it a slightly different way. But I liked his angle a lot, and Will Smith did a reasonable job in it, heck, a lot better than Jared Leto. So I'm hoping that's the route they go, but we'll have to see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, I mean, we'll see, because as I said, I keep looking at these and trying to find that thing that I'm going to like, and so I watch the movie, and I try and at least enjoy what they're giving me, and maybe they will surprise me with the second one. Maybe they'll have learned from their mistakes, and they'll do better the second time around. So, Gary, there's, I guess, one more piece of news on here, and it's our friend from Grimm is going to be in a new show at CBS.
The body's not even cold yet! Anyway, I don't even know how it ends. They're already saying it ended. Breathe. Anyway, they've announced that recently that our favorite friend from Grimm has been picked up following Grimm's cancellation finishing up, and he's going to be cast as a. I can't drip the sarcasm enough. A space cowboy. Space cowboy, yeah.
Okay.
In the new pilot. I thought it was already approved. I guess I'm mistaken. Pilot Mission Control, which is an attempt to follow the professional and personal lives of the NASA astronauts, but from a slightly different angle, meaning, you know, sort of Mission Control, more on the ground type of stuff versus necessarily in space. As a bright point to this as well, though, Poppy Montgomery will be joining as one of the leads on the series, and she'll play an on again, off again love interest is what's being assumed for the role. We'll have to see. I always like space drama, so. In its various forms, and we've had to live with everything from the amazing stories of defying gravity all the way through Astronaut Wives. So it's been quite a roller coaster as television, cable, etc. pursues this this certain type of genre. So and topics. So we'll have to see how it goes. I always cross my fingers that it's going to be really, really good, like Defying Gravity, but then again, we could end up somewhere else in between. So we'll have to see how much they want to really make it a period piece and be accurate down to the buttonholes, or if they want to really actually focus on story. So I'm hoping this is a writing tour de force and not a props and wardrobe masterpiece. So we'll see.
I guess we will. I do feel you though, as far as, you know, can you let the end of Grimm come before you start talking about the next thing? I agree. You know what? I feel exactly where you are on this, Gary.
What?
Because they've been casting for the new X-Men show. Gifted. Okay?
That is going to be called the X-Men show.
Well, it's an X-Men show, and it's called Gifted.
Okay.
So there you go. They just cast as a major cast member the lead actor from the show The Originals, which has not yet been announced that it's the final season of the show. But I'm looking and going, but your main actor's over here. Just saying.
Pay no attention.
Yes, exactly.
We have plans to run this series for some time to go. Oh, really?
Sometime, like a week. Hey, we're following what Sci-Fi is doing, and we're going to show it all in a week. Oh, God. all right. Any other thoughts on the news this week as we have a little bit of time left, I think, in this episode? I'm trying to also, at this point, edit our first show so that I can get it up onto the feed. But, yeah, we have a little bit of time here. Any other thoughts on this news?
No, I'm still relieved that we are having this plethora of science fiction continue to run through, you know, and I consider Legion as much science fiction as I do The Expanse. So that's a really good thing that we're not only getting this, but also the apparent. Well, I guess it's officially that is sci-fi okay in everyone's book now? Are they doing good by the science fiction fan again? Have they cut enough wrestling off the channel that we won't pick on them as much anymore? I'd have to say that they're doing some pretty good stuff, so I'm almost ready to let them off the hook for years of crappy programming. What say you, John?
I'm willing to give them a lot of leeway. I tend to do that anyway. I think a lot of their decisions, I understood where they were coming from, even if I didn't agree with them. I think they're in a much better place now creatively than they've been in a long time. The Expanse was something I really didn't think was going to take off here, and it did. I wish they were treating 12 Monkeys better, because it's another one of these prestige science fiction shows that they've got out there. But I do think that they are trying their best to give a mixture of things that will keep eyeballs on the screen. Any screen. Tablet screen, phone screen, TV screen, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that there is reason to think that they at least are trying. If they weren't, they would have canceled The Expanse.
Yes. Put
it that way. Because it's not easy viewing. You are asking a lot of your audience there. But they're you know, they've got a good mix of shows right now. And they've had a good mix of shows for quite a while. I think that people forget this. Just because they canceled shows like Eureka or Warehouse 13, Being Human US or any of these shows, you know, Alpha's kind of died a little bit early, but there were other reasons behind that. What people forget, again, is the funding side of this. There is a certain financial cycle, and even when they acknowledge it, they kind of still say, well, sci-fi, you should have found a way, but they never can. This is the problem with being a small cable network in a huge conglomerate. You are the bottom of the barrel. So I feel like they are still putting out a lot of content. They're gambling. Incorporated, not a bad show. Not a great show, but not a bad show. Did it get a second season? No, but it had a satisfying first season. They took a shot. It didn't work out. Fine. But they're doing other things that I think are worthy of praise. You know, 12 Monkeys, again, The Expanse, The Magicians. I think that that show is really not what people are expecting. But that is a show that is still doing fairly well. And I really enjoy it. You know, I know that our friend Kevin Batchelder loves Winona Earp. Not one of my favorite shows on the channel, but there is a dedicated fan base there. And I think they are appealing to a very wide variety of viewers out there for their channel. And they have kind of toned down the constant churn of Saturday night movies. From what I can tell, I don't see really any huge advertisements for these movies like there used to be, except for the Sharknado thing, which is kind of like they've made into a really goofy event, which is good for them.
No, they have stopped it. You're right, John. They definitely have.
So, yeah, I mean, you throw in things like Z Nation and all these other shows. They've got Face Off still out there, which is, you know, another great show. I think that they're doing something about similar to Face Off now for cosplay.
Yes, they're starting that up.
Great idea as well. I think it's about time somebody did that right. So, yeah, I think that they're doing a lot of great things on the channel. I just wish that they got maybe more financial support. But there we are. It is what it is. All right, well, what I think we're going to go ahead and do then is, in the time that we have left, we're at least going to start the episodic discussion.
Okay.
We have a few shows here that are worthy of note. And I'm just checking on that. Yeah, we'll go ahead with those for the top. There was a tie. Sorry, people. I'm trying to do this at the same time. All right, so we can go ahead and talk a little bit about the shows that are... There were 20 episodes last week. 21, actually. Excuse me. 20 shows, 21 episodes, and one of them, Homeland, has kind of dropped off of the list because Edmund has not been keeping up with it or is not supplying scores for that right now. And in fact, Edmund really couldn't get his scores in time this week, so that's unfortunate. But we do have shows here, unfortunately, at the bottom of our list. We have shows that are actually, we have one that is below the average mark, which is a little bit unusual, but there we are. We're going to go ahead and start, however, with a show that has been towards the top of our list, usually, and has unfortunately dropped. And that is Star Wars Rebels Season 3, Episode 19, Double Agent Droid. Chopper and AP-5 team up to infiltrate an Imperial station to steal needed codes, but an Imperial specialist turns droids against the crew to cause chaos. And this came in at an average of 7.25. Gary...
John, why did this get, why did this rank so bad? Do you know why it ranked so bad?
I'm pretty sure I did. It was the writing.
But why was it the writing? Oh, I'll tell you. Okay, John.
Yeah, I'm not trying to kill you.
Yeah, I'm not trying to kill you here. No. This is one of the episodes that was a very young child audience related episode. Yes, it was supposed to be intentionally a little bit extra funny with the droids playing off each other. I won't quite say it reached R2-D2 C-3PO, but that's definitely what they were going for. And it was written to a much younger audience. I suppose every once in a while, Dave Filoni, the producer and creative force behind the show, has to pay the piper once in a while. And because this is technically on a kids' channel, they do have to write a few episodes for kids. And that's what this one was. And I think that's why it... garnered such a low rank. The story itself was sound. The idea that the somebody was being sent in to infiltrate a station, steal access codes, and one of the droids in this case gets turned over and it becomes a double agent against their will, still sounds like a great episode. So as I outlined the story in my head, I say, well, pretty good, authentic. But the interaction between the two droids was what really dragged it down for me. It was very uninspired writing between the two. It was very simplistic because it was meant to elicit almost a slapstick laugh reaction. And and because of it, it failed. The story itself was, as I said, was very sound, even to the point that they name checked Admiral Thrawn a few times to sort of link the story back in, and the whole idea that the rebels in the Lothal system are a problem, are a significant problem, and more resources are being devoted to them to address those problems by the Empire. And so, again, great. The story itself was great, but the execution was horrible. On the other hand, I still didn't bank it all the way. I stopped at a 7.5 out of our usual 10, but it just fell short for me. I used to be able to look on these when they do these kids episodes, as I'll call them, a little bit more fondly, but I'm starting to get frustrated because the story has been getting so good that I really wanted to keep going and ramping up and stay at the adult level instead of dropping back.
I think you've pretty well encapsulated it. That is the problem, is that they decided before they have their last few episodes of the season to do this goofy kid-oriented episode. And to me, as I was watching it, I was even saying to myself, would a kid really get some of the jokes that they're throwing out here? The one that got to me, because I do feel like you said, okay, they started off in one place and then the story itself was fairly sound. Then they did that one bit where... Is it AP5? Is that the name of the student?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Gets, is basically floating in space, and these glowing alien creatures surround him, and he starts singing a song, and I'm like, what kid today knows that song? It's completely absurd, and it makes no sense whatsoever, and it just kind of happens, and I'm just sitting there thinking to myself, what is this episode? It's just so weird.
It's called Space Opera, John.
I guess. But it just was like out of nowhere. It just made no sense. It just...
No?
It just... Yeah, it was just goofiness for the sake of goofiness. And I just rolled my eyes and just felt like, okay, can we move on then to the big story, which, we just interrupted. Because it was... Yeah, last week was good. So good. And then there's this.
Well, like I said, it still was a great story. It was just... it's one of those things where I enjoyed the story, but the actors were bad. This one, even in a cartoon, sort of is what it comes down to. Great story, horrible acting. So I'm sorry to hear it down, but like I said, I think all the bones are still there, and I think where they're going with the upcoming storyline from the teasers should be really good. They're still continuing to draw in. I'll refer to it as original trilogy characters, and I'm looking forward to it. So.
Mm-hmm. All right. That means that we can move on to the next one here, which is will be pretty short. Dead Average 7 for this next one. Sleepy Hollow, Season 4, Episode 10, Insatiable. Diana's mentor is targeted by a monster, convincing her that stopping Dreyfus should be a priority for the team. It was a pretty messy episode. They just shortcut a bunch of plot points in order to get the story going towards this big plan for Malcolm Dreyfus. And the thing that really got me was that they had this whole thing, this whole strategy he's doing, and he's building it up, and it's completely off screen. It's like, really? That's the interesting part. The last 2 minutes was the interesting part. Why did you not? Okay. It must be a budget thing. But yeah, they built up to a reveal and it didn't make any sense at all because they haven't actually said anything about this one character for the longest time or in any depth, and suddenly this person has this very specific trait that is needed for everything to fall into place. So it's like, really? okay, it didn't work. Kind of an average episode. And there's only three episodes left of this season of Sleepy Hollow, and now, possibly the series.
Now, did you feel that? Oh, did you feel like this show is? I mean, it went through a drastic structure change this season. Do you feel that that's not panning out?
It's panning out fine for me. I think that the problem is, again, that maybe they don't have the budget they need to do what they're trying to do narratively. Or they are restricted perhaps by the availability of certain people. I don't know. It just felt like this episode was written a little bit off. Didn't quite come together. And maybe they felt the need that they needed to kind of go the monster route with the episode. Mm-hmm. And that the reveal was, they figured, would be secondary to the fact that, no, the audience wants to see the monster of the week. And no, we wanted to see a little bit more substantial story, especially with only three episodes left. All right, why don't you take this last one on the list here, Gary, since I have a feeling you're going to have quite a few comments on it.
Well, given it's the dead bottom of the list, I might not want to waste my time, but yes, we're talking about Legends of Tomorrow, Season 2, Episode 14, Moonshot. The Legends track Commander Steel to NASA headquarters in 1970 and learn where Nate's grandfather hid the last fragment of the Spear of Destiny. I don't know where to poke first. I thought hiding the Spear of Destiny in the flag that Neil Armstrong plants on the moon was very inspired. I liked it a lot. The thought that the Reverse Flash was going to be stuck in a capsule with Ray Palmer and all of a sudden the Flash loses his super speed ability for some reason. I was not aware that the Speed Force was tied to Earth, but I guess it's something to look into going forward. That was probably the most incredulous part about it. I couldn't suspend my disbelief that these two guys would be able to even run the capsule, no matter how smart they are, without any training, and manage to have it land back. It just seems ridiculous to me, and I couldn't stretch it that much further. That also being said, I did actually like the whole part about Commander Steel being dropped off and, you know, working his way into the space program and things like that. I thought that was to hide the spear. I thought that was rather ingenious storytelling, but the capsule scenes just left me flat. It was just a big bore for me. Also, I find it interesting that even though Rip is now back with us, Ms. Lance is still captain. It seems a little odd structure wise, but I suppose that I'll understand it eventually. Maybe, I hope, why Rip didn't just take right back over again. Did they explain it? I missed it.
No.
Okay. Just checking. Okay.
Yeah, this one was, if I said that the Sleepy Hollow episode was messy, I also felt like this one was messy. To the point where I just kind of said, I really don't know what to say about this one. It's kind of an average episode. I'll let Gary say more about it.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what I was left at, because I was like, well, first of all, it's the moonshot episode, so hey, I figured you'd probably have something to say about that, other than the fact that they probably made you really unhappy with their portrayal of history. But
well, I was happy to not see Apollo 13 blow up. That was a plus. Because I figured it still would, and that would be one of the problems they had to work with. But it wasn't at all. It didn't blow up at all. So that refrigerated oxygen tank that fell off the shelf in 1966 and was reinspected and said it was good. Oh, sorry, I'm going back too much. But I'm glad it turned out okay. But that was a surprise that it didn't actually blow up. So
slightly.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're actually kind of running out of time for this episode, because as we said, we have to make them a little bit shorter this week. So what we're going to do is come back next time with our top episodes of the week and then the final bit of episodic discussion. So until next time.
And so ends another epic episode of The Critical Myth. If you want to leave a comment for this show, head over to vognetwork.com. Not only can you find links to the podcast version of each show, but there is a dedicated forum, a ton of written reviews, and related articles by the crew throughout the site. For the written reviews, you can even leave your own review, so let us know if you agree or not. You can also leave comments on our Facebook page, Critical Myth, on Twitter at Critical Myth, or Google+, under The Critical Myth Show. Any and all use of copyrighted material is only intended for discussion, commentary, parody, or educational purposes, in accordance with U.S. Code Title 17, also known as fair use. In other words, Please don't sue us. And of course, the statements and opinions of the Critical Myth crew are not necessarily those of the VOG network, its partners, or affiliates. But let's face it, we're probably right anyway. Until next time, watch, read, and listen, and believe in the critical myth.